This hour of the Tom Abraham Show, on location on the rooftop at Rippey's across from Bridgestone Arena, is brought to you by Brinkman's Wine and Spirits. For more, go to brinkmanswineandspirits.com. Now, back out to the big dog.
Welcome back to Tom Abraham Show. So glad that you have joined us today, and thank you to Brinkman's for assisting us being able to be down here at Rippey's on the rooftop at Rippey's overlooking the Bridgestone Arena and all the activity going on down here. And oh, the aroma is so good. I mean, the Rippey's has got the, you know, they got the ribs going, they got the smokers going, they're doing their thing here, but also down there in front of the Bridgestone Arena, they've got all the hot dog and sausage and everything else going on outside as well. It's just spectacular. The scene is spectacular. Fifth Avenue is closed, and so that they've got all kinds of activities going on down there. It's just it really is special. Joining us now, the radio voice of the Nashville Predators, Tom Callahan. Callie, welcome back to the show. How are you? Go ahead. Tom, welcome back. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys. I didn't know you were just a slap shot away today. Otherwise, I would have fired a puck in your direction.
You know, not only that, I was going to suggest earlier to Charlie, and I forgot to just to ask you to just come on over, and you could have sat side by each with me here, and we wouldn't even have to do the phone thing. But I'll tell you what, you know, I know you've only been here for a few years, but you go back, five, six, 8 years in your career as things are getting going and getting rolling. Do you think you'd be sitting on a team that's right in the midst of a second round of the NHL playoffs and very much alive and have this kind of atmosphere? I mean, this is the first time you go through the whole thing, into the second round. People are probably laughing around the NHL. Detroit fans are laughing. Oh, big deal, you're in the second round. You know, we do that every year. But, you know, first time going through it, this is pretty cool.
It really is. And, you know, I mean, I grew up a Sabres fan, so I went through a bunch of stages with Buffalo where they make the cup final here and a conference final here, and I knew what it was like as a fan. And then as a broadcaster, it was fantastic. I mean, I really enjoyed early in my career. I got a chance to make it to a league final, and that was great. But I'll tell you what, nothing matches what it's like to be in this building every night, to hear it exploding, to see the level of hockey being played right now. It's fantastic.
We just came off a series where it was a, you know, 8-9 goal a night type of deal, 7-8 goals a night type of deal with the Anaheim Ducks. Now we've got the polar opposite of that. I mean, we've got a deal here where, I mean, you get it takes 100 minutes to get 3 goals out of these two teams the way these goaltenders are playing. It creates, though, a certain amount of tension in the game, doesn't it, that every shift, every shot, every bounce becomes that much more important, right?
Well, it really does. And you know what? This is what playoff hockey is, what it feels like. It's what I'm used to. It's what a lot of fans are used to. The Anaheim series was different. There was a lot of scoring because of the power plays. They called a lot in that series going both ways. And so I feel like the special teams really had a chance to make a bigger dent. And Anaheim's power play was fantastic. And ours was going too. But now here in round two, the teams are playing more defensive. We saw Vancouver get up 1-0 twice in the series and hold on for dear life in both games. In one game they won, and the other one we scored to tie it and then won in overtime. And you know what, Vancouver is, it's kind of strange that this team, I think it's in their head a little bit that they've been an offensive juggernaut all year. Now they're not, and so when they score that one goal, it's a very precious goal to them, and all of a sudden they just have to defend it. And I think that actually is kind of playing into the hands of Nashville, because as Vancouver fails to score 4 goals in each game, the media leans on a little more heavily and says, well, what's going on? Why aren't things going well? Whereas with Nashville, that's just what you expect.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned that media, and that's an interesting thought, because, you know, there's this thought that the rest of Canada is not really jocking Vancouver that much because of, they just don't treat Vancouver they would if it was Toronto or Montreal or that, and I understand all of that, or Edmonton even now. But the fact of the matter is they are the lone wolf standing. They are the President's Cup champion, and I would suspect that there is a decent amount of pressure on them. I mean, the Sundins are not scoring, and they're not getting good shots. They're not getting assists. They're not getting nothing. And there's just got to be a lot of heat on them now.
Well, absolutely there is, and you can hear it every time we go into the locker room and every time a camera is pointed or a microphone is pointed at these guys. And tonight, as a matter of fact, they're trying to make some more adjustments. Alain Vigneault didn't even take his press conference today. He sent Rick Bonus, the assistant coach, to do it. So, you know, they're going to put Alex Burrows up with the Sedin Twins for today's game. And I'll tell you right now, I mean, that's a move. It worked in the regular season, but Vancouver seems desperate to get one line, anybody, pick someone, producing on a regular basis. And like I say, every time, and you're right, every time they don't, that media microscope gets focused a little more on the big names on that team, on why they're not producing. And no matter what the coach says, no matter what the players on the team says, that national media focus can really turn into a noose around their neck. And let's face it, there's not a whole lot of place giving the Preds a lot of credit right now. And again, Nashville, if you only get one or two goals a game, nobody bats an eye because we don't have anybody who led the league in scoring this year or last year like the Canucks do. So, you know, you're just, hey, that's Nashville. That's our game. And so from that standpoint, the pressure is on everybody, but it's far less than the focus on the Canucks.
Well, and that pressure that the Canucks thought was gone after they got by, after they slayed the Dragon or whatever they did when they beat Chicago, the 8 seed, it's going to start building on them immediately, beginning with tonight. I believe that to be true. And when you look at the Predators now, you know, it was a grind, obviously, to try and get a goal. I thought they were getting a little too cutesy, looking for that extra pass again. That always seems to be the issue with these guys. And it took a shot from behind the net. It took one of those banking in off the back of his calf type goals to get things started. But Halastruck's goal was pure. And I could see them just, you know how Luongo is. I mean, a guy's like Linda Blair, you know, I mean, in The Exorcist. He could just, the heads would start spinning at any point in time, and you're going to get four or five past them, and they're going to be jerking them off the ice. I just have this feeling that tonight the Predators will swarm, and they're going to have, and they're going to get some goals.
Well, I think what would really be key for Nashville, if you're going to dent Luongo's confidence, which would be very important if we could do it, is to score early. Because there hasn't been a first period goal in the series going all the way back to the regular season. If we can get that first goal, get it early, and maybe tack on a second, the doubt, not only is it creeping in, but it's coming running in. And it's going to be right there forefront in their minds, you know, what's happening, are they going to panic? So far, Vancouver hasn't had to panic because it hasn't looked like Nashville's attack has been going 100%, but like we talked about, this is more Nashville style of game anyway. So if they get a two-goal lead on these Canucks, you know, already Vancouver was talking today about opening it up, activating their defense, trying to get them involved in the play. They're gonna
watch out.
So we're going to see that from the Canucks.
Yeah, watch out. That's all I'm going to say. You know, they want to go start pinching D and so on. They're going to see that there are a few guys on this Predator team that can finish. Going in the other direction. I mean, it'll just open up more opportunities. If they do stuff like that, Tom, they're panicking because, I mean, look, it was, they got a 1-0 win and they lost in overtime. It's not like, you know, they're at the end of their rope here. They can, if they have to play it tight, they got to play it tight. You know, that's the way they should be thinking. I know they were the highest scoring team in the league, but, you know, it's not going to be that way against this Predator team.
No, and that's what Nashville's goal is. They want to be the least penalized. They want to give up the fewest time on the power play. And you know what? The way Peck has played, this is the other factor in this series. I mean, these are two Vezina Trophy goalies. And Luongo's played well. Don't get me wrong. The first two games, I thought he's looked really good. But Pekka, the way he's playing right now, could be the guy who could steal this series for his hockey club. He is just playing insane right now. It's a pleasure to watch him. And you know what? Two goals might be enough to stand up on any night of this series.
Yeah, they could certainly get it done. Yeah, you're right, exactly, with a couple of goals. And the thing is, it's funny to look at the national media, and I think it's neat, you know, that they're getting national press now, but it's neat to look at the national media, and they talk about, well, you know, the way Pekka Rinne stand on his head and the save that he made and so on. Hey, tune this team in 82 a year. That guy's doing that kind of stuff 60 of the nights a year. He's having those kind of games. He always has those kind of saves. The guy is that special. So, you know, this is nothing new for us.
And you know what the other great thing about it is? He's so relaxed. He's so calm. He likes shots. He likes to be busy in a hockey game. And that's, you know, I don't want to see him getting 100 shots a game, but he's comfortable and he likes to be busy. And so when you do get a team like a Vancouver that can open it up, that can continue to pelt the net with pucks, it's nice to have a guy back there who actually excels in that kind of situation. And I think we saw that in the overtime the other night. Vancouver picked up the offense, but they just couldn't find a way to put the puck in the net because Pekka raised it yet another notch against those guys in the OT.
And I don't have the minutes in front of me right now, and usually I would, but it seems to me that there's been more balance, too, in the amount of time that the lines have been on the ice. I mean, you know, there was in that first series, Sully and Jeffrion and Hallstrom, they seem to be getting, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes, you know, a night. But it seems to be that they've been out there a little bit more, and there's just been more balance all the way through the lineup of guys getting minutes out there.
Well, especially the other night, too, you talk about having to run balanced minutes. I mean, when you play five periods of hockey,
right.
You know, Barry Trotz started to rotate some of the wings up and down. Really, the only guy who didn't see a huge uptick in his ice time was Blake Jeffrion. Jeffrion finished with about 12 minutes, and believe it or not, the other two low guys were Steve Sullivan, 15 minutes, and Matt Hallischuk, 15 minutes.
And, they're with him, yeah. Those are the guys that are with them. They got shifts though. I mean, because you'd see them, they were really short shifting them. But I mean, I know it just seemed like they got, you know, decent numbers of shifts, but you know, it just didn't seem like they were out there any of those long ones. Sometimes that's just the way the game unfolds. All right, well, Tommy, I'll tell you what, I appreciate you. This is a lot of fun, man, for a couple of St. John Fisher Cardinals, you know, to kind of be hanging out in Nashville and taking all of this in. This is some good stuff, and it is alive out here on the out in front of the arena. It looks like they're going to have bands. They got Fifth Avenue closed. They got food. It's just this is the way we roll in May hockey for the first time in the history of Nashville.
You know what? It's incredible. And I remember, speaking of Rochester, I went to the Calder Cup final out there for Rochester in 96 against Portland, coached by Barry Trotz. And no, they did not win that year, but who knows? Maybe I'm going to try to bring Barry a little of that championship karma.